You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Monday morning to you and yours, April the 12th, 2021. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. We have a lot to get into. I mean, the Knicks with a terrific win last night. They almost blew it, but they didn't. The Mets, a 9-pitch game, terrific, wonderful. Great idea to play that one. Yankees, huge win yesterday. Maybe one of the dumbest life... I don't even think you guys know about it yet. One of the dumbest life decisions we have made as a family, and I'll tell you about that in a couple of moments, but let's say good morning and bring in Chris Canty and Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. How you guys doing this morning?
Rick, how you doing?
Dave, I can't even tell you. You got to get ready for this. I know you're sitting down. So yesterday, Sunday, I got a soccer game at 11:30,
mm-hmm.
which for a Sunday fits perfectly because all of a sudden, 11:30, 12:30, that puts me home. I got Mets. I got the Masters. I got the Yankees. I'm all set up. In the rain, perfect time to play soccer. So we show up. Milo plays, scores his first goal of the season. He's all fired up. We get home. We get the kids showered. We lock in on the couch. And now this is something that happens probably as frequently as Ray Santiago updates the music, which is virtually never. Never happens.
Shots right away. Take
I got
note
a full,
of it, Santiago, right away.
I got a full family nap situation. Baby slept, Ella slept, Cass, Milo, and me, boom, couch nap on a Sunday. What's better than that?
That is as good as it gets, huh? Congratulations.
I don't think it gets better than that. How does it get better than that?
I don't think it could.
It doesn't.
I don't think it can. Everybody nap. Now, did you all nap together, too?
I had Ella on my left. I had Cass on my right. Milo was next to her. Baby was in the crib. It was, I mean, I couldn't ask more.
That's the dream nap scenario.
Yeah, for a guy who doesn't usually, I don't get naps. This was like, I mean, this is like a unicorn. Like, this doesn't happen ever.
Now, were you able to push bedtime last night because you got the nap?
we didn't want to push bedtime, but it just so turns out that because Ella didn't play soccer yesterday, the nap had her up and she's running around like 8:30.
Oh,
I'm not tired. I can't go to sleep.
Probably running the hallways, right? Follow me!
Yes! She's bombing around. She's in the cabinet. She's trying on, like, Cassie's headbands in the mirror.
Fit into the pantry, Mom. Oh, my goodness. So, I want to bring this up, and I think as a show, we discussed this, and we wanted to bring it up. And Chris, what's happening in Minnesota is, sadly, it's not surprising. It's kind of the world we live in, but we don't want to get to 8 o'clock this morning and people say, guys, you didn't bring up what's happening in the real world. We, remember, are not the real world. We are the sports world, but we know what's happening in the real world, and we would be remiss if we didn't bring up what's going on in Minnesota right now.
Yeah, Dave, unfortunately, we're talking about another black man losing his life because of an officer-involved shooting, and now we have to reserve judgment until all the facts of the matter come out, but unfortunately, Dave, we're just familiar with this story, and that becomes the backdrop to the forefront of what's going on with the Derek Chauvin trial after the murder of George Floyd last Memorial Day. So it's just, again, unfortunate circumstances, Dave. Our hearts grieve for the loss of life, but this is just becoming a story that we're too familiar with, and it's just, I don't want to become desensitized to it, so I'm glad that we are continuing to talk about it. But at some point, something has to change, and everybody should be frustrated about what's happening and how You know, we continue to talk about unarmed citizens losing their lives at the hands of the people that are supposed to be protecting them.
And I think you mentioned something, and Rick, it's so poignant, and it's true. It's like, oh, this is who we are, right? Like, you hear these stories, and I don't think they surprise you anymore. I mean, mass shootings, it's like, oh, this is who we are. And you say it, and it's sad to say, but I think there's some accuracy to it, Chris, and that is, at least for me, I am becoming desensitized to it. Like, to every time these things happen, it's like, oh, okay, well, that's who we are as a country. It kind of just fits right in line.
Yeah, we can't become desensitized to it, though, Dave. We all have to work together in order to change things. And, you know, clearly there's a lot of eyes on the state of Minnesota and what's going on in Minneapolis with this trial, because our justice system, Dave, our policing is on trial as well. Like, we have to find a way to be able to keep everybody involved safe. That's both the officers and the citizens that are being policed. So this is one of those things, Dave, that we all have to work together on in order to find solutions that work for everybody. And we're clearly not there yet, as evidenced by what happened yesterday.
Yes. So I just want everyone to know that we know what's happening. We feel horrendous about what's happening. As a show, we've discussed what's happening, but we're not going to spend 3 hours discussing what's going on with Derek Chauvin trial or in Minnesota. But we are very, very much aware. Now, I started the show. We'll get to the sports in a moment. Rick, we might have done the dumbest thing as a family yesterday that we've ever done.
I can't wait to hear this.
I mean, at the time, you get so wrapped up, and now at 3 o'clock in the morning when we're tending to this, I'm like, I turned to Sherry. I was like, what happened? Are you ready for this?
Yes.
So the boys have been clamoring for a dog.
No, you didn't.
Clamor. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. Clamoring for a dog. So we go to the pet store yesterday, and we walk in. Oh, that one's adorable. Can we play with that one? They take him out. Boys are playing with this dog. We want this one. Can we please get this one? Well, how about that one? How about that one? Take out this other beautiful, the white Labrador, beautiful dog. Can we play with that? Sure. Well, that has a sibling. Would you like to see the sibling as well? You can show us the sibling. And my mind is, you know, it'll be nice for the boys to get a dog. And for some reason, my wife, who I love more than life itself, says, how can we separate a brother and sister from the same litter? How can we do that? So we don't come home with one dog. We are the proud owners or unproud owners of 2 9-week-old white Labrador retrievers.
Yeah, that's going to be a whole lot for you, Dave. Good luck with that. Because you know you're going to be the one left holding the bag when it comes to taking care of them.
You don't understand. It was like World War III in my home yesterday. Sherry went to get her second shot. I got diarrhea from one in the corner. I got the other ones peeing all over. I got vomit happening. I mean, I can't believe this is happening now. This is real life. This is like having 2 new children in the house.
Yeah, I don't know what you expected. You're a dog owner. I don't know. First of all, I mean, going to a pet store with your kids that want a dog, and all of a sudden you're going to start playing with the cute puppies? What did you think was going to happen?
I didn't realize, too. Sherry, she's been, we're not getting a dog. We're not getting a dog. There's no way. I'm going to be the only one takes care of it. We're not getting a dog. We get in there. She's like, well, we can't get just one. Look at them. They're adorable. They're brother and sister. Now we have two dogs.
So you went into the pet stop and you had a united front with you and Sherry, Dave, and then she just broke down when she saw the puppies.
She wouldn't get one, and all of a sudden we go in there and we now have two. Two! Two!
I can't be too mad at you because I made the same mistake myself.
Wait, you got a dog?
I got a whole... Well, no, because Cass and I wanted a dog, and then Cass's parents had mentioned that they wanted a dog, and then we figured the best thing for Mickey, since she's at home by herself... And driving me crazy is that if we got Mickey Rourke a dog. So, and Canty knows this, as an athlete, the worst thing you can have is the free time. Because that's
sending you guys pictures of the dogs right now, by the way.
Yeah, send me the pictures.
Instantly fall in love when you see them.
Every one of my biggest mistakes, either investing in alpacas, whatever it was, always I can trace back to having way too much time on my hands, like just sitting around bored. You don't make me feel good. Or playing a bad game, you don't make me feel good. Let's buy something. Huge mistake. So I decided it was a good idea. When we were in California... When I had knee surgery in California and I was rehabbing from knee surgery, that I ordered the whole litter. of puppies. So I got the two brothers and the sister all sent to me in L.A. And then I distributed the other two.
So we had three puppies. You're as much of a glutton as I am.
Yeah, but at least, like, I mean, I gave away, like, the other two were going to one, obviously, where I was giving the other two away, but they were brother and sister. I had the same feeling. It's like, I can't separate them. Yeah. How could I separate these puppies?
And they play on your heartstrings, too. The people at the pet store, they're like, well, they've never been apart. They've been in the same cage and within 3 feet of each other their entire lives. So if you choose to separate them, that's on you. And then Sherry's like, no, we can't do that. I'm like, oh, God, now I got these puppies and my wife. I'm like, fine, just get them all.
Yeah. They played on your heartstrings to hustle you guys into taking both puppies, Dave.
And I have no more money, by the way. No, zero more dollars to spend on anything. If we need like medicine or healthcare or anything like that, we can't now do it. I had to go two separate credit cards. The first credit card wasn't. They're like, I'm sorry, Mr. Rothenberg, you can't charge this much on this one credit card. I'm like, oh, really? No. So yeah, use two. It's great. Did you get the photo, by the way, of these
I
two
did.
Animals?
Beautiful dogs.
Oh. Beautiful.
It's good that you didn't get dogs, too, that need a lot of activity, too. That was a smart move by you.
Oh, yeah, really smart move. But they won't get bigger than 60 pounds, so that's great news. So. Oh,
awesome news.
Yeah, great news. All right, so, and it's funny. Sherry says to me, as I'm leaving to come down to do the show, she goes, listen, you may not want to be that loud because you don't want to wake the dogs. Yeah, let me whisper. Yeah, that'd be great. For millions of people here. Okay, welcome. You know, Mets lose, they go out and they have 9-pitch game, and Yankees win. Yeah, that's possible, Sherry. So if you hear yelping from newborn puppies, I apologize in advance. There's a lot of places we can start with this. Yankees, it felt like yesterday, Chris, was a really important win for the Yanks, didn't it? I mean, that was a very important game.
No, it was an important game, and Dave, I'm just glad that the bullpen didn't implode because they taxed those guys on Friday and Saturday, and yet the bullpen came through in fine fashion, giving you five scoreless innings. So I like where the Yankees are at from that standpoint. I thought pitching was going to be a big concern, especially with some moving parts in the bullpen early on, but that hasn't really been the issue. Unfortunately, over the weekend, you didn't get a great outing from Kluber, didn't get a great outing from Domingo Germán, and Jordan Montgomery wasn't great yesterday, and he almost started a fight between the two teams because he hit a couple of batters early on, but you know, the Yankees were able to find a way. They were able to put together some really good at-bats late in that game. I thought Gio Urshela had a good at-bat in the ninth. Unfortunately, Gardy screwed it up by getting caught in a rundown.
Oh, but then that was terrible.
But then Gleyber Torres came through. Roughnet Odor came through. And then, of course, Gary Sanchez had an RBI base hit as well, and that's a good sign from him. So I just felt like maybe yesterday's game was the opportunity for the Yankees lineup to be able to break through and come up with a big hit when they needed it the most. They avoided getting swept down in Tampa. It's not something that you feel good about, but at least it's not as ugly as it could have been.
I mean, your bullpen's been the best part of your team so far this season.
It's been great.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, Nick Nelson, who was great in his first appearance, he struggled. But again, I mean, the starting pitching is killing you right now. Outside of Garrett Cole,
you can't rely on your bullpen like this. I mean, you're not going to be able to get 5, 6, 7 innings a night out of your bullpen.
No, you can't. And Chad Green was awesome. I mean, the fact that Chad Green gave you 7 outs yesterday. But, I mean, for the show, forget about just for a Yankees fan. For the show, that win was huge. Could you imagine Canty today after what happened in the ninth inning?
No, he would have been in, like, hazmat gear if the Yankees would have lost that game yesterday.
How ridiculous was that, though? How ridiculous was it? Like, well, how could you get caught in a rundown in that situation?
And you couldn't be more of a veteran. Like if I said to you, if I had asked you right now, who is the one guy that would never get caught in a rundown in that situation, you'd
Gardy.
Probably say Brett Gardner.
It'd be Gardy. Yeah, he needs to talk to the Mets and work on his dirt ball reads. It's absolutely ridiculous. That can't happen, but that didn't come back to bite us. We go into extras, and for the first time with the whole new rules and the ghost runner at second, the Yankees were able to be on the right side of that, which is nice.
Yeah, which is a ridiculous rule. I mean, just an asinine rule that baseball has that. But
hey,
right.
I'll take it, Dave. I'll take it.
Listen, you needed a win desperately. You really did.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Odor, the big base hit. The Mets, what a disaster. What a disaster of a weekend. I mean, you get the bizarro win on Thursday. Mets fans celebrate. Yankees fans seem very bothered by that. You're off Friday. You come back Saturday. You're all juiced up. You get DeGrom. You get first and third, first inning. You can't get a run in. And then it felt like, Rick, that the Mets would not have scored a run if that game went 245 innings on Saturday.
No, there was no chance. And again, it's another Jacob DeGrom start where he was awesome. Awesome. That you can't score many runs on top of the fact. As if that wasn't bad enough, then Edwin Diaz comes in and only makes it worse. Which, again, I mean, here's the thing, Dave. I mean, this is enough is enough with Jacob deGrom is how I feel about it. Like, I mean, I don't know, like, how he seems like it's no big deal to him. I mean, he was focused after the game on
he's
the whole
amazing.
Run.
I give him a lot of credit, man. To be able to have that attitude after those losses.
It's amazing to me. I mean, maybe he's just at a point now where he's just focused on what he's doing and he could care less about the wins and losses. But I have a hard time believing that. As a competitor, I mean, you want to win those games, especially when you pitch as well as he pitched. But the offense is struggling right now, man. Yeah, I mean, it is. That's the truth. I mean, Conforto hasn't been great. They had opportunities in that game. Conforto and Alonso had opportunities in that
hasn't
game.
Hasn't been great.
Yeah, he's been awful. He's been not exactly what you're looking for
in nice.
Contract
yeah.
year.
You're very nice.
Just trying to be nice. It's early on in the season. His elbow pad is good.
A beautiful elbow pad.
Elbow pad got us the win. But yeah, I mean, I was looking through some stuff with the whole DeGrom thing. I mean, it's amazing. And yeah, I was reading an article this weekend about how he's not as unlucky as other pitchers. But it's like, okay, yeah, I mean, I get when you start breaking down all the different stats and everything else. But the reality is that here's the one that sticks out to me. Since 2018, Jacob deGrom did not get a win in 19 starts. Since 2018, did not get a win in 19 starts in which he went at least six innings and gave up one or no runs.
I mean, that can't even be. Like, if you would give me a list of 10 things that just are not true, I'd be like, okay, of course that's untrue. Like, there's no way that's possible.
But it is.
I know it is.
That's his reality right now.
I would say on Saturday, and I mean this sincerely, it might have been, I mean, that's about as good a pitching performance as you can have. Like, from beginning to end, he was dominant. He went a long way into the game. He was efficient. Guys couldn't touch him. He struck out of 14 batters. Like, there mm-hmm. was, he had one blip on the 0-2 pitch to Chisholm. And that was it. One run in eight innings. And
it was 100 miles an hour. The one blip was 100 miles an hour.
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I know. What was crazy about that start, too, was he had the 14 strikeouts and how efficient he was in striking out 14. I mean, when you strike out that many hitters, you're not going to give, you don't usually.
Right. It was on less than 100 pitches he struck out 14.
Yeah. Exactly surgical. Right.
I mean, Jacob deGrom is surgical. And we were talking about it the last start that he made. He was like, man, you know what? Maybe Rojas should have allowed him to go out there for that seventh inning, push it a little bit more just because you know you can't trust your bullpen. I mean, the guy gave you eight innings of one-run ball and your team can't finish the drill and they can't manufacture offense to be able to score some runs and help him out. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous what they do to Jacob deGrom. Like, at some point, this team has to come along and take advantage of his starts. I don't know if any other team in baseball that can't win when they have their ace on the mound pitching like Jacob deGrom is pitching. You just don't see it. It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. I would almost say this, and maybe it's prisoner of the moment, but I don't think so, and you guys correct me or say if you agree. I don't know that a player has ever been better and gotten less fortune in the history of sports than Jacob deGrom. I mean, really. I mean, what he has done is Hall of Fame caliber pitching, and they can't even win games with that.
Yeah, I mean, especially over the last couple of years. I mean, go back to the year. I mean, the year he won his first Cy Young.
Was he 10-9?
And that, yeah, that's what I mean. And he was, I mean, his ERA was what, 1.7?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it took everything to get above 500. He was below 500 for almost the majority of that season.
Well, you remember that was a conversation, right? Like, are the people that are voting for this award going to hold it against him that he only has this many wins? And he was just too, I mean, he was just so good.
He was so good, it was undeniable. You had to give it to him.
Yeah, we can't even look, I mean, why would we even look at the wins? We understand what he's dealing with. But the guy's been the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, he has. He's been the best pitcher in baseball. Last season, I mean, he was probably a bad start away from
winning his third straight Cy Young. What would you, and I'm being serious, what would you say his record would be if he pitched on the Yankees?
He's winning, you know, he's a 20
he'd
game
have
winner.
A couple of 20 game win seasons in there, you know, sprinkled in over the last 3 years.
Like
no question about
23.
It.
You could say 23 wins, right?
Yeah.
Is realistic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. No.
I mean, he's winning 9-10 games a season with the Mets. And we think that it's very realistic that this guy could have won 23 games a season for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Well, look at Dave, since 2018, look what he's done. So he won 10 games, his ERA was 1.7. The following year, he wins the Cy Young again. He had a 2.43 ERA. He won 11 games. And last year he had a 2.38 and he won four games.
No, obviously they only played 60. So let me see if I have this straight. So he pitched 8 innings on Saturday, right? And allowed mm-hmm. one run. He pitched 6 innings in the opener and allowed no runs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's 14 innings of one run ball. He's 0-1 and they're 0-2 in those games.
Correct.
You are correct.
I give up.
Yeah, which is funny, which is you as the fan has given up, and Jacob DeGrom was like, yeah, you know what, I shouldn't have given up that home run. I realized that if I give up a run, I'm probably not going to win.
Let's take a listen. Here is, God bless him, because he's really a mentally tough guy. Here is Jacob DeGrom discussing just that.
No, not really. You know, it's a team effort. We're out there trying to win every baseball game. So, you know, those guys had a tough matchup today. Their guy was really good on the mound. You know, he didn't make many mistakes. So he did a good job pitching with, some runners in scoring position. And that's part of baseball. These guys do a good job of preparing every day. And, you know, they go about it in a professional way. And today we just got beat.
That's not part of baseball. It's not. That'll happen. That happens once or twice a season where you have your best stuff. You're dominant. Nobody can touch you and you lose a game. This is not part of baseball. We've never seen anything like this before.
No, we haven't seen anything like this before, Dave, but Jacob DeGrom is a pro's pro, and that almost makes this situation worse because you feel bad for him. It's like the guy, I understand he's the one that signed the contract extension, but this guy is a hostage over there. I mean, the way that the Mets lineup hits when he's pitching, or lack thereof, I mean, it's criminal. At some point, they're going to have to start taking advantage of what Jacob DeGrom is bringing to the table, especially when you consider that the division that they're playing in, because this is going to be a close division race. The Mets are not just going to walk away with an NL East title. It's not going to happen.
Are you ready for this, Dave?
Oh, God. I'm being sincere when I say this. I hate when you do this. I hate. Since 2018, he's allowed one run or fewer in every single start, and he's 11-47. I cannot stand these.
No, okay, so that's...
You love these. I hate these.
No, it drives me crazy. Ugh. It drives me crazy. Because the whole point of this article, it was an SI. The whole point of this article was, like, Jacob DeGrom is not alone. Like, there are a lot of pitchers that have these unlucky starts. So...
Isolated unlucky starts, not every single start.
Okay, so here you go. So I had mentioned at least 6 innings, giving up one run or no runs. That's an elite start. Elite. At least 6 innings, one or no runs given up.
Right.
So in his 185 career starts, I would imagine that I would include, so now I have to include his last game against Miami. So in 184 career starts, that would put him at 32 winless elite starts. So in games that he's pitched 6-plus innings, given up mm-hmm. one or no runs, he's had 32 times where he's winless. Winless.
Winless.
In the elite starts. Tom Seaver had 30 in 647 starts.
Right. So this doesn't happen to other pitchers. This doesn't happen to any pitcher.
Well, no, it did. It does. I mean, it happens to pitchers, but I mean...
With the frequency of Jacob DeGrom, though.
No, just with how well he's pitched. Like, I understand, like, there's been plenty of pitchers that don't get the kind of run support, like, don't get great run support. But when you're talking about a guy that goes out and pitches as dominant as Jacob DeGrom has been, and it seems like almost every single start, not to mention the fact the starts where he's the one responsible for driving in the runs for himself.
Yeah.
Did you see the stat this weekend where he has, like, the third most hits on the team?
Yeah, I think the stat was that he's you know, through his first two starts, he's batting .600, and the rest of the team is batting .169.
He's like the Ohtani of the National League. I don't know. I don't know how he... I mean, you played goal. You played in a position where you relied on other people. But, I mean, if this would happen to you, if you're going out in every single game, you're allowing a goal and you're losing 1-0. But talking to you in the post game, I can't imagine you saying, well, it's a team game and the guys are doing everything they can and this happens to a lot of guys. I would think you'd lose your mind.
Yeah, but you would never say that. You would never admit that to the media.
Mm-mm.
I mean, behind closed doors, you're probably...
He's a good soldier, man. He's a good soldier.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine what his wife has to deal with. He's probably screaming to his wife, and she probably feels the same way.
He probably goes home, he's like, they never score a run!
I'm telling you right now, I would probably guarantee his wife takes it harder than he does. Just like, remember Giselle? Oh, Tom can't catch it and he can't throw it and catch it.
Yep.
But he could never say that. Like, he could never show up his teammates in front of the media like that. We all know. We'll say it for him.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
So the last thing I want to have happen is for Rick at like 7:30 this morning to be like, you never gave us an opportunity to talk about the Masters and the golf, because I heard what you did very nastily. You attempted to do it behind my back the other day, but I heard it. Where you were saying, oh, he never talks golf. He didn't mention the Masters once the entire week. So let's go. Let's get into the Masters.
Well, I figured you would just mention it like on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday leading up to Thursday. That is the week of the Masters.
Well, all of a sudden now I'm the only one that talks on the show.
Well, like, no, it's a big deal.
Say, you don't get into it?
Well, no, because I mean, usually have the show mapped out. I don't want to just all of a sudden just throw you.
It's our show. If there's something that you want to get into, you say, hey, can I throw this out there for a second?
Should I really have to tell you that I want to get into the Masters? We haven't been doing a show long enough.
Well, you should throw it out there. All of a sudden, you're going to tiptoe around things that you want to get into.
Mm.
Hey, you're a fraud too, by the way. By the way, you're a humongous fraud too. By the way,
all you do is
complain that Dave Gettleman drafted a running back with the second overall pick, and then you turn around and you name your dog Barkley.
Well, just because I don't like the pick at two, I never said I don't like Saquon Barkley. It's not fraudulent.
You don't even want to sign him to a long term deal.
It's not fraudulent at
it's
all.
Fraudulent. It's fraudulent.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Just because I, this was your golf talk, by the way, just because I don't like, just because I didn't like the pick at two doesn't mean I don't think he's a good player. I never once, Chris, defend me here. I never once said Saquon Barkley's not a good player.
That is true, Rick. He never disparaged Saquon Barkley. He said he didn't like the idea of taking a running back with the second overall pick.
That's right.
When you need a quarterback. So I got to have Dave's back on this one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why would you name the dog Barkley? Like, you might love Saquon Barkley, but this is going to bring back the memory of why the hell did we draft a running back with a second overall pick?
It's not going to go away. It's fine.
I think it might have went away. Like, eventually, I think you would have got past that.
No, trust me, that won't go away. That'll never go away. That'll haunt me to my deathbed. Why would you take Barkley? Could have had Josh Allen. That'll haunt me forever. All right, so come on. Matsuyama, excellent. Great stuff. You guys talk about it because I don't really watch it much.
No, it was amazing. I mean, it was amazing. And I was listening to Peter's brother, Andy North. And
what is wrong with you? What?
No, he actually said, so
you have a problem.
So for the people that are listening, so Hideki Matsuyama is the first Japanese man to win a major.
Correct.
And he wins the most prestigious, which is the Masters, right? So Andy actually said that during the lifespan of his golf career, even when his golf career is over, this win is a $1 billion win.
Mm.
For Hideki Matsuyama.
Mm, with a B. Say it again.
$1 billion win.
That's how big he is. And that's, I mean, how he's big already. But now, I mean, having won the major, especially it's the Masters, it's beyond. But, I mean, Shoffley was right there, man. He was right there.
Rico, how big was that putt for Matsuyama on five? How big was that? To save par?
It was huge. And he's been great. And then, I mean, all of a sudden he starts to get some pressure because Shoffley feels like he's coming. And then I think actually Shoffley might have at least pushed that thing to a playoff at the very least. But he goes and hits it in the water.
16? Yeah.
Yeah, and that was it.
Yeah,
it was a wrap.
That was a wrap. Yeah.
Because Matsuyama ends up making bogey on that hole.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he scrambled too. I mean, I think his scrambling the entire tournament was phenomenal. I think he finished first in scrambling, which is really where he saved a lot of strokes. I mean, you talk about it, his short game and then on the green – being able to close the deal and not give up a bunch of strokes there, that's the difference when you're talking about a tournament like the Masters. And he was great.
It was funny, phenomenal. Chris, when you were doing KJZ, who asked Michael Collins? Was it Bart that asked Michael Collins if Justin Rose had enough to win the tournament after the first round?
Yeah, that was Bart.
Bart goes to Michael Collins, you think this is enough? You think he's done enough to win the tournament? And Michael Collins is like,
no.
What does that mean, done enough? In one day?
No.
Collins is like, this is like mile one of the Tour de France. Like, No, he's got, give it some time.
Sure,
it never works out like that, Rico.
It never works
out like that. Whoever gets out to a big lead on Thursday, they very rarely close the deal. Rarely.
No, I mean, first round, just don't play yourself out of the tournament.
Yeah.
Is what you want to do in the first round. Because the course will continue to change. And I give Matsuyama credit, man. I can only imagine. You saw him after the game, after the round, like he was having a hard time keeping it together. But I mean, I couldn't even imagine the amount of pressure he must have felt over that last. I mean, going on to that back nine.
I mean, he had a whole country on his shoulders.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that, like the enormity of what he was trying to do.
What's the time difference?
It doesn't matter. They were up watching.
You think right? whenever it was, the whole country was up watching
yes.
this? Really?
Absolutely.
That's great.
Well, remember where the Olympics are at, too. The Summer Olympics are in Japan.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, so he's going to come out now. He's going to play for Japan. He comes rolling out in the green jacket.
Yeah, that's great. It's awesome. That really is. Good for him.
Did you see the back and forth between Adam Sandler and Will Zalatoris?
Yes, on Twitter. That was very funny.
I'll do better next time, but anytime you need me.
Yeah, that was very, very funny. I wonder what the ratings will be like. Phil wasn't in contention at all,
They won't be great.
Yeah.
No, because, Spieth, again, he's been playing well, and he always plays well at Augusta. But, I mean, as far as the big names are concerned, I mean, there was no one really involved. It loses some sizzle, too.
Tiger's not even in it. That's got to be a hit to begin with.
Yeah, that's a big hit. Dustin Johnson doesn't make the cut.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks Koepka doesn't make the cut, right? I mean, DeChambeau
Brooks Koepka
really,
shouldn't even be out there.
No, he shouldn't be playing. He's going to take a month off. DeChambeau didn't really do much. He was never really in contention. Justin Thomas was in contention for a minute, but then he kind of fell apart. Friend of the show, Colin Morikawa, was...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just not great. He's not a good enough putter yet. Like, he's already going to the claw and everything else. Like, that's really what ends up separating you, especially when the course is playing as fast as it played.
Mm-hmm.
They use the word crispy. For anyone that golfs knows what crispy means.
Putting a golf ball on glass.
Oh, dude, especially when you're above the hole, like the run out. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I played Sabonic. So Sabonic is up in the Hamptons. One of the guys who, he was like our third goalie. So when I was on the Islanders, we had, the two goalies. And then we had a guy who would come in and skate. Just like, if one of the goalies needed a day off or you didn't want to take extra shots after practice, he would skate. And he ends up, so now he's over at Sabonic. So we got a chance to play it a bunch of times. So I'll never forget, because I hate putting. Like, I despise putting. For some reason, I just do not like putting. Because I'm not good at it, probably. So... these greens run crazy fast. So I'm on one hole, hit an awesome drive, hit my second shot, like perfect shot. I'm probably like, 10 feet right of the pin. So it's a par four. I'm on in two, right? So caddy goes, great bogey. So what do you mean great bogey? I'm on in two.
He knew, huh?
No, he knew exactly where the ball was at. He's like, there's
he
no way.
He got in your head, didn't he?
Well, no, but he's like, there's no way you two-putt this. There's zero chance you can two-putt
this. Well,
you
were on the green and he didn't think you could two-putt it?
I was 10 feet from the hole, but I was
and
on the wrong
right.
side.
Would you get a 5-6?
No, of course. The second he said that, I was like, what's going to happen now? So I got up there.
What does he know?
And I was
I
on the wrong
know.
Side of the hole. Oh, so, of course, I three-putted, of course, because, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I three-putted. I'm not a good putter anyway. I was like, son of a, why would you say that to me?
Yeah. could you imagine it, with as neurotic as he is, when he's on in two and the caddy says, all right, well, good job of getting the bogey. All these wild thoughts are probably going through your mind.
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean a bogey? I was like, I'm 10 feet. He's like, you're on the wrong side of the hole. I'm like, we'll see about that.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Oh, he was right.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Let's get back to the Mets. 800-919-3776. Let's get to a couple calls, and then we'll get into the disaster that was the game. I guess a game loosely yesterday. Brad in the Bronx. Brad, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
What's going on?
I've been a fan for 50 years, man. This is like having a Tom Seaver flashback, man. It is criminal. I'm almost to a point, even as a fan, like, trade him. He shouldn't even have to go through this. If these guys got vaccines and players, you'll need to take that back, but it didn't help them. They're not hitting the ball. It was 1-0. And think about the top. I'm telling you, it's like watching Seaver all over again. And Seaver won a lot of 1-1 games. So we don't even add those into the list. This should be against the law. I don't know how we watch this, man. It's bad baseball. It's almost like they're watching the game themselves. And I know you got to watch the game to be a player, but they're at all. They come into the game thinking, you know what? DeGrom's on the mound, so we only need one run.
You didn't get that.
Come on.
No, you couldn't get the one run. It has to be something now that's just in their heads. It has to be.
But come on.
I don't know how you should explain it.
And you know who must be the happiest guy in the history of baseball? The guy who's opposing DeGrom. Because he's sitting there probably on whatever team he's on. It's like, well, they're not going to hit him. They will not touch me today.
Yeah, but how many times have we said that, though? That's what happens when he pitches. All of a sudden, you got a guy who's as dominant as Jacob DeGrom, but because your lineup stinks whenever he pitches, you turn whoever's pitching against him into an all-star. That's what ends up happening.
But when you really think about it, it just shows you how great Jacob DeGrom really is, though, right? Because he has zero margin for error based on the lack of run support that he gets with every single start, and yet the guy still goes out there and throws up zeros. Like, it's unbelievable how good he is, and he just continues to get better each and every year. Like, this is the best version of Jacob DeGrom that I've seen over the course of the last 4 years.
How good was he on Saturday?
Oh. He's phenomenal, Dave. He's phenomenal. I mean, he can put it wherever he wants it. And he's got the velocity, Dave. He's got the life that you're looking for from his pitches. Like, he just, you can't wear him down. Like, you know, most batters can, you know, get in the batter's box, foul off pitches and do all that. Not with Jacob DeGrom. You can't do that with Jacob DeGrom. That's how good he is. He's the best pitcher in baseball. To me, that's amazing, not even a debate.
No, it's not a debate. What's amazing, though, he doesn't even use all his pitches.
No.
Like in his first start, he just threw fastballs.
Yep.
I mean, that's what's amazing about him. Like, he's
that good, Rico. He doesn't have to.
He didn't go to his full arsenal. He's like, I'm just going to throw it 102 whenever I want. And then I'm going to finish off the start throwing 100. It's insane, man. It really is.
And they let him down every single time.
But you know what pissed me off, too? As bad as it was, bad as that was, and I felt bad for Jacob DeGrom, and I got to see Edwin Diaz come in, and he can't even finish the ninth.
It was pathetic. The only thing that would have made it worse is if they were winning 1-0 and he came in and did that.
Yeah, Rico, you got fooled by Edwin Diaz last year.
Every time I say how much I dislike him and how much he bothers me, always like, well, he had a great year last year, Dave.
Well, what else do you want me to say? Just be negative about it? I mean, he's our closer.
Be honest.
He's our closer. What's the option right now? Seth Lugo's hurt. What's the option?
There is no
option. He's your closer. He closes out the door from you being able to win games.
That's right. He closes any chance of staying.
You know what's amazing, too, though? You got in the same game, you got the polar opposites. The best thing Brody Van Wagenen ever done, which was lock Jake up to a really, really team-friendly contract. And then the worst thing he did, which was trade.
That trade is unbelievable.
It makes me angry.
It should.
Like, it's one of the few things, like, it makes me, like, every time I think about it, it makes me, like, really angry.
And it's only going to get worse, you know. Like, you haven't even seen what Kalenic is capable of doing. Wait until he comes up and starts raking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to happen. That's a foregone conclusion. And we're not even talking about the fact that that Robinson Cano is going to be back next year.
Oh, great. Look forward to that. Be good times. Lonnie in Harlem. We love Lonnie. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, family. I love you guys, too. Of course. I really feel for you and Rico as far as, you know, as well as Mets fans, because it's despicable that they can't put at least one or two runs on the board for this man. He goes out, he throws 14 Ks, I mean, dominant performance, and you can't give him at least one or two runs, and it happens all the time. I really, if I was DeGrom, before every start, I would go up to every person in the lineup that day and give them the death stare. Like, if you don't put this ball on the bat today, I'm telling you, it's going to be a problem. Because he should be almost undefeated at this point. Like, he should have no losses. It's just the fact that his teammates don't help him out. But I also called in today to see if... Well, I have two questions for Brother Canty. How you doing, CC?
What's up, Lonnie?
Okay. One question is, seeing to how Rico has the Thursday Open as a staple now, I was seeing to if we can get you to do either Wednesday or Friday. And I was also going to ask, how are we really supposed to feel about our Yankees, especially after that tweet I sent out to you the other day, and then it got spanked. The Yankees could use Jacob DeGrom for Randy Arozarena, that's for sure, because he is the Yankee killer.
Adames
is a problem.
Gosh, the Yankees, for some reason, have something going on in Tampa.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter who's in the Tampa uniform. They struggle with that team.
No, and here's the thing, too, with Tampa. Actually, I'll say this. That series, I mean, I'm happy for the sake of Chris that they pulled that off, especially what happened in the ninth inning. But the fact that Aaron Judge was back, because they don't like playing him in Tampa on that turf.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the fact that he played. I'm with you on that one.
He looked like he was running well, too.
Oh, especially yesterday when he was rounding the bases. Like, he was going to get it. That's the win that you take out of this weekend. The fact that Aaron Judge looks like he's going to be healthy and available. That thing that he had when he was side late last week is not going to linger. So that's the one positive. But, I mean, we've played three series, and the only one we've won is against the O's. It doesn't necessarily make me feel great, but it's still so early in the season. You can't panic about anything that you're seeing from the Yankees right
and,
now.
And the division's not going to be very good. You know, like
The Red Sox are sitting at the top of the division, so we know that's not going to last.
The Orioles stink, and the Blue Jays will probably be decent.
The Blue Jays are going to be better, yeah.
Yeah, but again, I mean, there's not a great like the Mets have a lot better competition than the Yankees do in their division,
which is exactly why you can't afford to keep losing Jacob DeGrom starts where he pitches lights out.
I know. So how about yesterday? I mean, what the hell are they doing yesterday? Why? Really? So you want to hear this? So Ben had a game at 3 o'clock on the other side of Westchester. And I spoke to someone on the other team, and I was like, listen, look at the forecast. It's awful. Let's not even go. We'll make this thing up on Wednesday. This is another parent. The Mets went out there and tried to play the game yesterday. Why?
Well, according to their exclusive meteorologist, it was only going to be a mist-like rain.
Oh, okay. Well, I was looking on my iPhone, and it said it's going to rain all day yesterday.
All day. All day. It was like 90% of rain all day long, and they decided, let's go. I mean, this was a good idea. Let's go out there and start the game. I mean, you know, it's a new owner. It's the same crap that we've dealt with forever.
Yeah, but I don't put that on the owner. I mean, that's not the owner's decision. That's on Rojas.
But it's a decision that's stupid, and you thought maybe the stupid decisions would change with new ownership. No?
You would hope, but it hasn't been the case. I mean, you start with Jared Porter, and make your way through it. It hasn't been the case. I mean, I think the jury's still out on Luis Rojas. I mean, that's what pisses me off. It's his decision at that point. It's your decision to make whether or not you're going to try to play this game. And because you decided you wanted to try to play it and you saw how pissed Stroman was, now you burned Stroman.
I don't blame him.
Well, now you burned him. Now you got to wait till his next start now.
Right. And then you get Peterson against the Phillies tonight. We saw what happened to him last time he went up against Philadelphia.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir. I get it. I understand it. And you saw how angry he was after the game.
He should have been that angry.
Well, you saw him on the mound.
You weren't going to be able to play that game. At the best case scenario, that was going to be a stop and start game, where he probably would have gone in, pitched an inning or two innings, and then you would have had an extended rain delay, and maybe you lose him anyway.
Yeah, I don't know where the win was going to be. Like, managing that game, you're right. I mean, even if they started and got through a couple innings with the forecast, the way I saw the forecast, and I think everyone else saw the forecast, at some point that game was going to have to be stopped. Which means that once you stop that game for an extended period of time, Stroman's done. That's it.
Tell me you don't have real reservations about Luis Rojas right now.
I do. I said it going into the season. I thought that once Steve Cohen bought the team and Sandy Alderson took over, that they would make a change. Just a fresh start. But maybe the previous relationship between Sandy, I mean, Luis Rojas has been a part of the organization for a long time. Just give him one, I mean, he had a COVID, I mean, he had the 60-game season, give him a legitimate chance at 162, but...
Rico, he feels like he's in over his head, man.
It does.
I mean, anytime I hear him talking the post game, addressing different decisions that they make as an organization, it just seems like it's too much for him, man. And you know, that ends up happening for some guys. Like, some guys are just better off being managers at the lower levels of the sport or position coaches. They're not somebody that you want out in front as the leader of your team. I think in terms of leadership, Rojas leads a lot to be desired.
A lot to be desired. Tell me you didn't feel better about me as the weather expert when I was doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, how could I not? I mean, you were spot on.
I gave you dew points.
Everything.
I gave you everything you could possibly hope for. I gave you sunset timing. I gave you a percentage of humidity. And then they decide, yeah, no, we'll just push through. I don't see the heavy stuff coming down for quite some time.
The weather outside is weather.
It is unbelievable.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.